of 95.9 megahertz on the FM band with 450 watts effective radiated power, or ERP. Our transmitter is located at 7 Evergreen Place in Osborne Village. Programming originates from our downtown studios at the University of Winnipeg in Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada. We would like to hear from you and welcome your ideas to improve listening, which will be heard on CKUW in the years to come. Address your comments and suggestions to CKUW 95.9 FM, room 4CM11, 515 Portage Avenue, Winnipeg, Manitoba, R3B2E9. You can also call us at 204-786-9782 or email us at ckuw@uwinnipeg.ca. This is Kent Davies speaking for the Board of Directors, staff, and volunteers of CKUW 95.9 FM. Thank you for listening and stay tuned for more great community radio.
CKUW 95.9 FM broadcasts from the University of Winnipeg, located on Treaty 1 territory and the national homeland of the Red River Métis in Winnebuck, Manitowabi. We acknowledge these are the ancestral lands of the Anishinaabeg, Anishininu, Aninuak, Nahethoak, Ocheti Shikoe, Dakota Oyate, and Métis people. This territory is also a place of significance for the Dene and Inuit. We acknowledge that our water is sourced from Shoal Lake 40 First Nation in Treaty 3 territory, and that most of our hydroelectricity comes from Treaty 5 territory in northern Manitoba. As a community-driven, not-for-profit organization, CKUW 95.9 FM strives to respect, value, and incorporate Indigenous knowledge and perspectives into our programming and organization in the spirit of truth and reconciliation. Remembering the original spirit and intent of the treaties, we recognize that the work of reconciliation is ongoing.
Good morning, friends. I'm Ron Robinson.
And I'm Carol.
We are the Saturday Morning Show. We're here for you for the next 2 hours, 6 until 8. And after that, it's Mud Puddle Radio. Well, at 9 o'clock, I guess.
Stuff.
Yeah, we have to have stuff at 8 o'clock. You're quite right. The weird, the wonderful, and the odd. This hour, Carol, looking at the weather for us. We'll take a look at the Free Press book pages. We're missing some of our equipment just before we move. We'll do the best we can with what we have. Can do with what we have, and I'm just going to say I think we'll do the weather first because I've got a couple of announcements we want to make. Carol McKibben, what have you got there?
Okay, what I've got is the computer is a tiny bit slow, but I do have the weather. So it's 9 degrees out there, Ron. Is that what you felt? That's what I felt, all right.
Yep.
Stopped by a guy in the street. Do you want to buy some sunglasses that he probably found? Whatever. No, I did not need. I had my sunglasses. But it's partly cloudy. I agree with that. Barometric pressure 101.7 and rising. The humidity 90%. Wind coming from the north at just 8. It's going to be sunny, Ron. Mainly sunny today, with a high of 20. It's either sort of barely in the teens or 30 degrees, but today it's going to be 20, and a little bit of UV index 6. That's considered high, but it's not very high, so it should be okay.
Sounds like a great day for a walk around the city of Winnipeg.
Oh, Ron,
there was still
yes.
There was still room for 12 the last time I looked at The Winnipeg Public Library website. That's our walk. It's Hugh John MacDonald. An hour and a half. We start from Dalnevert, which was his home at 61 Carlton Street. Sponsored by the Winnipeg Public Library. Learn a little bit about Dalnevert. But then Hugh John MacDonald's Winnipeg, early Winnipeg,
right.
Finishing up at the local history room of the Millennium Library.
Well,
you want to come and join us? Get on that I would say show up.
Well, yeah, which,
Not to worry. Room at the inn if you want to show up. We leave at noon.
Yes.
We finish at 1:30 at the library.
Yeah, you may or may not be able to sign in at the library at this time of day, but you could show up.
So I got the Winnipeg Free Press today. I looked at the obituaries, and I see obituary for Sid Green. Died on June the 7th, 3 months shy of his 97th birthday.
Wow.
Graduated from law school in 1955 as a gold medalist, indeed. An aggressive litigator, yeah, representing trade unions. In 1965, a judge issued an injunction shutting down the picket line of one of Sid's clients. 5 years later, as a member of the new NDP government, Sid passed what became known as the Green Amendment. Guarantees the right of any person to walk down a public sidewalk carrying a placard for the purpose of communicating true statements.
Wow.
Possibly the most comprehensive freedom of speech legislation in Canada, if not the world. Brackets. No, the Green Amendment does not allow protest groups to shut down Portage in Maine. This is in the obituary, you see. Sid never bound by conventional wisdom. Formed his own unique perspective on events. That's what we liked him. Only socialist, these perspectives also shared for years with readers of the Free Press, until a leftward shift in editorial policy made Sid too politically incorrect.
Oh, dear.
Good example, anyways, Obamacare. Yes, well, that's good. That's an interesting note. Despite his noted accomplishments in public life, sometimes said he was actually achieved more in the field of law than in politics. Sid would not have wanted his interest in sports to go unmentioned. University was Slinging Sid, star quarterback of a law school team. In his late 40s, he decided he should take up hockey. Eventually joined the Manitoba Steelers, who would welcome him to their scrimmages well into his 80s. Avid golfer as well. Funeral service held on June the 9th at the Chesed Shel Emes. Internment at the Hebrew Sick on McPhillips. Donations in Sid's honor may be made to Operation Smile Canada.
Aw, nice.
Today's Winnipeg Free Press, then, on the passages page.
Do you know who will like that? The ex-Blue Bomber.
Chris Walby?
Nope.
Who I hear?
Recently. Oh, man.
Jackson Jeffcoat, big piece.
No.
Oh, I see.
More recent than that.
Big piece on Jackson Jeffcoat in the Free Press. He had a bad time when he left the Bombers, but he's pulled himself out of it.
Oh, good.
But you're thinking of, used to be middle linebacker for the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. Now,
big guy.
Now into
funny
coaching.
How
soon they forget, eh? Well, we play a bit of music. I think that'll come back to us.
Okay.
I'm thinking of your easy listening hit parade that started this morning. That we can play, I think. It's Johnny Ray with the Four Lads and the Buddy Cole Quartet. Back in 1950, Harry Richmond, peak of his high-strutting razzmatazz success, had a lively rhythmic hit with this.
Okay.
Went out cheap, but it's great after staying out late, walking my baby back home. I'm in Imo over meadow and farm, walking my baby back home. But we go along harmonizing a song, or I'm reciting a poem. The owls go by and they give me the eye, walking my baby back home. We stop for a while, she gives me a smile and cuddles her cheek to my chest. We start in to pet, and that's when I get her powder all over my vest. Just when I try to straighten my tie, she wants to borrow my comb. One kiss and then we continue again, walking my baby back home. But it's great after staying out late, walking my baby back home. Well, arm in arm over meadow and farm, walking my baby home. Well, we go along singing a song, I'm reciting a poem. Well, the owls go by and they give me the eye, walking my baby back home. For a while, she gives me a smile and cuddles her cheek to my chest. Well, we start in to pet, and that's when I get
for powder all over my vest. And just when I try to straighten the tie, she wants to borrow my comb. One kiss and then we do it again, walking my baby back home.
Johnny Ray. And he wasn't even crying in that song.
Very bad.
Well, composed by Fred E. Allert. I've got A-H-L-E-R-T. And Roy Turk, riding the crest of a wave himself. He just written I'll Get By and Mean to Me. Following year would compose Where the Blue of the Night. Bing Crosby. Where the blue of the night meets the gold of the day. Yeah. 1952, Johnny Ray, who had struck gold with Cry. Yes, the previous year, revived Walking My Baby Back Home with such effect that it soon made the title song of the film. At 6:11, I'm just thinking we'll play a little more music before you. We'll try and get something of ancient radio waves for you here. Born on this day in 1945, Morna. First name is Morna, M-O-R-N-A.
Who am I? Okay. Could be Irish. Why are you looking at me, Morna?
Morna Ann Murray.
Oh.
Canadian retired country pop and adult contemporary music singer, I'll say. 55 million album copies worldwide during a 40-year career. Let's talk more music from Ann.
Yeah.
People smile and tell me I'm the lucky one, and we've just begun. I think I'm gonna have a son. He will be like him and me, as free as a dove, conceived in love. The sun is gonna shine above. And even though we ain't got money, I'm so in love with you, honey. Everything will bring a chain of love. And in the morning when I rise, bring a tear of joy to my eyes and tell me everything's gonna be alright. Love a guy who holds the world in a paper cup. Drink it up. Love him and he'll bring you love. And if you find he helps your mind, better take him home. Yeah, don't you live alone. Try to room with lovers on. And even though we ain't got money, I'm so in love with you, honey.
So far, I don't know how many best of she released. I'm going to tell you her age, born in 1945. At 6:14, Carol McKibben, have we looked at the jumble yet?
I have looked at the jumble, and I can tell you H-T-A-W-E. Oh, dear. How much coffee have you had?
Insufficient. Not insufficient.
Yep.
We'll come back to it. See, I was already onto what, and then you threw in an E.
Yeah, so see. It must be...
wheat.
That's right.
Where we live.
That's right.
I was born... We're going to play the next week.
Are we?
Okay. Oh, yes. Charity shop. I found a new book on Winkler.
All right.
So just to get people to tune in to next week at this time, well...
When you guys... we went to baseball a week and a half ago, and... did you guys get Winkler hot dogs?
No, Winkler the dog, the guy ran around throwing hot dogs.
No, but you went to the hot dog stand.
Yeah, but it didn't say that it was Winkler.
Oh, I see.
No. It was foot long.
Oh, I see.
Yeah,
oh,
that was pretty
dear.
Good, too. They don't do Smokies anymore at the Goldeyes.
Okay.
I couldn't believe it. I fell on my
butt. I went to Bodega's and had a noodle dish.
Goldeyes are here. In fact... Let me just dig up the sports here.
You haven't done the sports yet.
Oh, no, because we're talking too much and trying to make the machinery work.
Right.
So let me just have a look here. Here we are. And sports, the soccer, FIFA, World Cup. Cowabunga, this may be news to you if you haven't been paying attention, but Canada won 6-0, which is an unheard-of soccer score over Qatar.
There were extenuating circumstances for that.
We play Switzerland, Wednesday, 2 p.m. coming up. USA played Australia yesterday. USA won 2-0. Baseball, the Major Leagues, Toronto Blue Jays played the Chicago Cubs yesterday. Kablooey, the Jays lost 16-2.
Ooh.
There's a score you don't hear often in baseball either. Same again today at 1:20, Sunday at 1:20. American Association, Winnipeg Gold Eyes. Took on the Lincoln Salt Dogs last night. Winnipeg won 10-5. Very nice. I think there's a rain delay there. Same again today at 6, and we'll be there for Sunday. Sunday at 1. Am I right, Carol?
Yes.
Yes, you're not wrong there, Ron. Okay.
Yep.
Hockey. Winnipegger Jonathan Toews is retired. What?
Officially
Stanley Cups
now.
With Chicago Blackhawks.
Yep.
He got over long COVID and came back. To play one season with the Winnipeg Jets. He's better now, of course.
I don't know if he's overcome his long COVID.
Well, he's able to play hockey.
He's able to play hockey.
Better than most people would have been able to.
That's right. Better than you and I. Yes.
And full page on the Winnipeg Free Press today.
Is he on his way to the Hockey Hall of Fame?
Well, with all the Stanley Cups, I would think so, too. Yeah.
And he was captain of Chicago.
At 20.
Blackhawks at the age of 20. Yeah.
Basketball, Winnipeg Sea Bears are at home to the Edmonton Stingers today at 3. Football in the CFL, now Winnipeg on a bye. And nice piece in the Free Press the other day on Cal Murphy, who's going into the Ring of Honor.
Oh, right, yes.
Who was the coach here,
Ring
of course.
Ring of Honor, yep.
When the Bombers won the Grey Cup, believe it or not. Yes, that was the days.
It was a
long time back. So last night, BC fought Hamilton. Is that the word? Well, BC showed up, put it that way. But Bo Levi, 5-pass touchdowns through the air as Hamilton won, going away 41-27. BC shy of some of their first stringers there, and boy, did it show. Today, it's Toronto and Ottawa at noon, Montreal and Edmonton at 3. Saskatchewan and Calgary, we want to see that at 6 o'clock tonight. Quickly at sports for you there.
It's a lot of football in one day. I guess they have to squeeze it in between footy games.
So let's take a look then at the Free Press book pages.
Okay.
I'm looking at Paper Chase column from Ben Sigurdsson. Canadian journalist Lise Doucette has won the Women's Prize for Nonfiction for her book, The Finest Hotel in Kabul, A People's History of Afghanistan. Examines Afghanistan's history through the lens of the first luxury hotel there. She is the second Canadian to win a £30,000 prize, which amounts to about $55,000. Naomi Klein won it in 2024.
I heard an interview with Lise Doucette about that book just a couple of days ago. Yeah.
Sounded worth reading?
Yeah.
Okay. I see the John Howard Grand Society's Hotel. Get the Story Out campaign wraps up tomorrow. The organization hoping to raise $2,000 to support the program. Get the Story Out allows incarcerated fathers to connect with their children. The Society provides children's books to prisoners who read them aloud and are recorded. Recording is then transferred to CD and sent gift wrapped to the children by mail. You can purchase a $25 Father's Day card at McNally Robinson Booksellers by the end of the day tomorrow, and the proceeds will go towards the program. And you can buy it online as well, as WFP is Winnipeg Free Press. WFP.to/MA. Hope you're recording this program. Or better yet, talk to McNally Robinson from the sound of it.
Or pick up a copy of the Free Press. It's right there.
Susan Hubert? I was just wondering if that's our Susan. But anyways, reviews.
Oh, right, maybe.
Treat Them as Buffalo, a novel by Blair Palmer Yoxall. Major events and big personalities can overshadow the lives of ordinary people, but even the youngest and seemingly least important members of a society can help shape communities. So this is the thread that runs through Treat Them as Buffalo. Various characters in a Métis village in 1885 Saskatchewan through the life of a 12-year-old boy named Nicosis. Yes, Community in Crisis and Louis Riel's Rebellion. We're going to revisit that today at noon, I can tell you. John MacDonald went after Louis Riel in 1885, came here in 1870.
Yes.
Chasing that scoundrelous Hugh John viewed him.
Right. Yeah.
Pages of today's Winnipeg Free Press, then. And a couple of other things, seem to me. Well, what's new in paper? And I spy with my little eye a new Ian McEwan in paperback. What We Can Know. In a waterlogged apocalyptic future, is that what we want? A scholar scours the archives for information from the 21st century, including about an elusive poem. New Ian McEwan, then, in paperback.
Is George Bowering still around?
Well, it's funny you should say that. There's a new book.
Yes, I saw it.
By George. Literary legend waxes poetic on treasured Mexican village. He's a big fan. He's been traveling there for decades. It's called Barefoot Gringo, published on Point Press. Reviewed in today's Free Press by Winnipeg writer Craig Turleson, who also has a love affair with Mexico. So, Canadian literary giant George Bowring, the places of Mexico, specifically the small oceanside village of La Manzanilla. And what he calls his final book, well, he's 90. Spins stories of his many travels, starting in 1963 with his first wife, Angela, and after her passing, his partner, Jean Baird. So reviewed favorably in today's Winnipeg Free Press. And finally, leave you with headlined, Making It Work. Almost.
That sounds like Doug and the Slugs song.
Despite success in Canada, Doug and the Slugs couldn't break through in the U.S., reviewed by Bill Rambo. Vancouver's Doug and the Slugs.
Well, they were a lot of fun.
Like the hip, they never had a serious hit in the U.S., he says, but success with songs like Making It Work, which was to play on Nightlines, Day by Day, and of course, as you said, Too Bad. Try
with the fascination.
Too bad, fascination. Too bad, too bad, fascination.
Well, I had a way. Ooh, such imagination.
Too bad, imagination. Too bad, too bad, imagination.
Call the 45. Goodbye. I used it with no hesitation.
Too bad.
It's too bad.
Too bad.
Too bad.
Too bad.
Too bad.
Too bad.
Too bad that you had to get caught. That's not like you to lose face. So sad that you're not as smart as you thought you were in the first place.
Too bad.
The late Doug Bennett of Doug and the Slugs, one of the big hits, too bad.
I chair danced through that whole thing.
And you did well.
And you sang that bass part.
Boom, 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 boom.
Wow.
The book, Real Enough, The Unlikely Story of Doug and the Slugs by Simon Kendall and Aaron Chapman, because Simon Kendall was the keyboardist and musical director, and the writer was Aaron Chapman. I interviewed Doug and the Slugs.
Oh, yes, and?
When I was at Nightlights across the street, he showed up with a prune face, and he sat in his chair like a slug, which is what you'd expect, and he grunted his way through the interview.
Oh, dear.
Well, it was in the morning, wouldn't take his coat off. Just sat there.
When you say it was in the morning, was it after a gig at 2
yes,
in the
I
morning?
Would imagine.
Or
yeah, probably.
It wasn't
6
in the morning.
Yeah. And I guess his record company said, you go talk.
Yeah.
Well, recommended by the reviewer, Bill Rambo. How does he say? Thoughtful and engaging history. There you go. Doug and the Slugs. So it's Real Enough. Bill Rambo, retired teacher from Landmark, who knows fame and fortune do not necessarily coincide with musical greatness. Is what it says there.
He used to live down the street from
628.
Us.
628. Well, Carol McKim, we're going to try and get some ancient radio waves here for us.
Yes.
We've lost some of our abilities, but I still think if we reach out.
Can you find my bamboo pole? Because
well,
I don't
no,
see
it's
it
our
here.
Fillings. If we put our heads together.
I don't have any mercury fillings anymore.
So it's up to me. Is that what you're saying?
Yep.
Come in, ancient radio waves.
Hey, good luck.
15 seconds before the period closed, the Canadians tied the score. Ken Mosdell of Montreal scoring on a double pass from Dick Gamble and Johnson. There was one penalty called in the period by referee George Gravel, that to Steve Krafcheck of the New York Rangers at 16:21 for holding. The score at the end of the first period, New York Rangers 1, Montreal Canadiens 1. Here now is Walter Downs.
Thank you, Douglas. Tonight sees history made in the annals of Canada's national winter sport, hockey. For the first time in the history of a game which dips back into the last century, organized hockey in Canada is honored by the presence of royalty. Seated tonight close to the edge of the frozen playing surface is Her Royal Highness Princess Elizabeth and her husband, the Duke of Edinburgh. And we think it significant that tonight, before royalty, teams representing the greatest cities on either side of the international border should be furnishing the spectacle, for it is the New York Rangers opposing Montreal Canadiens. This is a glittering spectacle tonight, the greatest night in the history of hockey anywhere in the world. The love of British royalty for sport is traditional. Great racehorses have, over the centuries, raced in the colors of monarchs. Royalty has frequently honored great cricket and rugby and soccer matches with their presence. So tonight, Canada's most thrilling sport, hockey, is honored by royal patronage. Indeed, a truly historic milestone in the annals of the game. Tonight, the Hot Stove League is represented by three observers, former player Paul Haynes, sports writer Elmer Ferguson, and Baz O'Mara. And special guest, Doreen Day, internationally known fashion expert and commentator. And I'm sure that their observations on tonight's great event will be of interest. First of all, Paul, we'll start with you.
Well, Walter, One thing I was particularly impressed with was the tension which was prevalent, particularly in the first part of that period. The players, and particularly the Canadian club, were noticeably choked up, and Rangers played them all over them for the first 10 minutes anyway, scored the first goal, and it wasn't until the Canadians forgot about the presence of the Princess and the Duke and really got down to forcing the play and loosening up that they began to gain some control and eventually tied up the game.
And on the great spectacle itself, Mrs. Day, will you give us something?
I don't think it's fair for a woman to take up time as far as fashions are concerned in a time like this, but it was so impressive. And of course, we all have in Canada been so interested in what Her Royal Highness would be wearing. I think perhaps the most graphic description of it could be that she was from head to toe in a soft shade of bronze. That meant a short mink jacket, a bronzy hat that was laced with gold, a tiny mesh veil threaded with gold. Her bronze satin and brush dress was as simple as could be, a late afternoon dress, we'd call it, but with accessories and dignity that went with it. There comes a time, you know, in this fashion world when you wish you had three vocabularies, because when your first one that you're accustomed to failed you, you'd like to reach out into another one and get a word that would give a better picture than I can possibly give over this. I thought in my ebbing years when I had been at Buckingham Palace this summer that I had had all I should have in the feeling of gratefulness from the bottom of my heart to our royal family. But here, it's different. There, I was a guest in their home. Here, they are a guest in our home. And the ovation they got as they entered the forum tonight could never leave it in anyone's mind.
The way we were. Nothing more. Hardy Night in Canada. Hello, Canada. Yes, Foster used to say. That was from, what, 1951, I think, or so.
Wow. Yes, okay.
And, of course, there's no more Hockey Night in Canada on the CBC. You're going to have to pay.
What?
I know you were already paying. You're saying you're going to have to pay more because it won't be available on CBC. I think CBC still owns Hockey Night in Canada, the name. So what they'll do with it, I imagine, might be professional women's hockey. And we'll see some other kinds of sports.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
We used to Blue Sky when I was at CBC.
Blue Sky? Okay.
Every now and then, everybody in the same room.
Yes.
Blue Sky, smiling at me. Ideas. What about ideas? Let's Blue Sky.
Oh, I see.
And I would say, I think we have to do things that nobody else can do or is willing to do.
Yes.
There's no need to keep working the same furrow if it can be done elsewhere.
Right.
We don't need that kind of competition, no. And so hopefully CBC will find something that is worth doing in that Saturday night hockey spot.
Right.
6:33.
Well, possibly women's hockey.
There you are.
So I was interested that they had to have a fashion consultant
Hot Stove League.
Yes.
Oh, I don't remember that.
The bronzy
outfit.
So I tried to look it up.
Yes.
And Princess Elizabeth, blah, blah. And, of course, I get getting pictures of Queen Elizabeth at the hockey. And no, I didn't want that. And eventually, when you gave a year, I did find pictures, but they're all black and white. So, and you don't really get much of a picture of her outfit at all. So that's all I have to say about
that. Royal Command, Hockey Night in Canada, October 29th, 1951.
Well, I did, but like I say, they're black and white.
Okay.
Yeah.
What can you do?
Yes.
What can you do at 6:34? I'll tell you what we can do.
Yes.
We can get people to participate once again. See if you can play along at home. Try and guess who's making the music and what is the title of this piece.
Oh, I think, okay.
Wake up. There you go. All right, here we go.
Thank you.
Who guessed that?
Well,
Carol has
so
her hand
famous.
Up. Yes.
Henry Mancini.
Yes, himself.
Moon River from
yep.
Breakfast at Tiffany's.
Right, you are.
You can't get more famous than that.
Well, see,
well,
we
you
get,
can,
see if we get less famous next week. There are 17 cuts on this.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So, I think we'll get the next one, too. Oh, all the right. one after that as well.
Okay.
Maybe not cut 9, though. Yeah, all right. Okay. Stay tuned. Now, what say we look for help? As we often do, to Dear Mary from the Pages of the Spectator
magazine. Oh, dear, yes. What's she up to
what
now?
What year is this? Took me a while to find this. 10th of June, 2026.
Oh, wow, that's
this
pretty current.
This is current Mary help.
Yes.
Question, Mary, can you rule on an aspect of private jet etiquette? I have been invited to a house party in the west of Ireland. However, my host has cautioned against my asking for a lift in the private jet of a couple of the on the guest list. He says it will look like sponging. Seems absurd for them not to give me a lift, given that we would be going from the same county at the same time. And presumably we have been involved in the same house party because we are likely to get on. I hardly know this couple, but they are Suffolk neighbours and I know their land address. How can I bring about an invitation to travel with them? HK, Woodbridge, Suffolk.
Okay, my answer?
Eh?
Give me strength.
Give me strength, really? Says Carol. What does Barry say? Mary says,
yes.
Answer.
Yes.
Unless you can engineer running into them and they offer, without your prompting, you should not lobby them. The reason people hire private planes, it will cost £8,000 to £12,000 to charter one from NetJets or VistaJet for this journey, is to avoid other travelers. To be masters of their own destiny and not have to worry about someone else texting at the last minute saying, sorry, I'm nearly there. I'm afraid the traffic has been awful. Or, will it matter that I've forgotten my passport? Having got the measure of you at the house party, they may well offer you a lift back. So why not buy a refundable ticket for your return journey? From the pages of the Spectator magazine.
Can I just say here, two Scottish guys got in an airplane the size they said a small car.
I hope this isn't a Scottish joke, Carol.
No, it's not.
Oh, how disappointing.
After hoping not.
Remind me, I've got a joke about this.
They got in a small airplane the size of a small car, they said, the two of them, and they flew from Prestwick through Reykjavik,
Iceland.
A small place in Greenland.
Yep.
Goose Bay.
They're all small
Labrador.
Places in Greenland. Whatever.
Yes.
Yeah.
Goose Bay.
Wait
where my
a minute.
Cousin lives.
All at once.
This is the same trip. They're flying to the World Cup.
Oh, I see.
From Prestwick in Scotland.
Well, they probably got gas along the way.
I don't think it's a big. In any case, then I think Montreal and then Rochester, New York, and there must be. is a game played in that general area.
That's a lot of togetherness.
It's a lot of togetherness. And Scotland lost.
Yes, that's right, after all that.
I hope
they
enjoyed it,
though. I wasn't going to say
anything. But wow. Well, I mean, you've got to be a real fan.
Yes.
To do that.
When you said two Scotsmen, I immediately thought a rabbi and a priest and an imam all walk into a bar at the same time.
Yeah.
And the bartender looks up and says, is this some kind of joke?
Thank you.
641, Turner Classic Movie Channel. Classic Looney Tunes this morning. After us.
Oh, more.
More Looney Tunes.
Every
1941.
Week.
These could be good. Probably violent, too. 1045. Oh, this was a classic.
All violent.
Classic. Tortoise Beats the Hare. That was a good one.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
That was...
yep. All right. Then who'd like some kitchen sink drama? Throw in the kitchen sink. Black and White, of course. 1 o'clock today. Saturday night and Sunday morning, 1960. Albert Finney, Shirley Field, Rachel Roberts. Factory worker lives for the chance to have fun on the weekends. Sounds like Les Battersby, doesn't it? Yeah. 7 o'clock tonight, Rear Window. 1954. Director, of course, Alfred Hitchcock, James Peeping Tom Stewart, and Grace Kelly. Well, let's have a little Hitchcock music then.
Okay.
I think he did all Hitchcock's major films. That's Bernard Herrmann.
Okay. Trouble with Harry.
Philharmonic Orchestra. Bernard Herrmann conducting from an LP titled Music from the Great Movie Thrillers, music composed by Bernard Herrmann, which include Psycho, Marnie, North by Northwest, Vertigo, and we heard A Portrait of Hitch, which was from, as Carol mentioned, A Trouble with Harry. 6:43.
All of his were good.
So that's Rear Window tonight at 7 o'clock. And then for Sunday, Father's Day.
Yes.
And there's no Kramer versus Kramer. What kind of a Father's Day?
No.
Okay.
He was a good dad.
1 a.m.,
yes.
My Brilliant Career, 1979, Judy Davis, Sam Neill, 19th Century Australia, of course. This is a weeper for you tomorrow at 4:45. Our Vines Have Tender Grapes.
Little Margaret O'Brien. Yep, oh, yep, man, it's a weeper. Yep. You're right.
Life with Father. As well, from 1947, directed by Michael Curtiz. William Powell as Martinet. Irene Dunne as the long-suffering wife. Elizabeth Taylor as the daughter in that. And 8:45, Sunday night for Father's Day, To Kill a Mockingbird. With a great stone face starring in that, yes. That's the Turner Classic Movie Channel for you. Say, Charity Shop Find.
Yes.
And he's written several books on this. It's Intrepid I'm talking about.
Oh.
A man called Intrepid. And
yes.
The book was called The True Intrepid. Bill McDonald kept on finding more and more information about as it was.
Really?
Because Intrepid himself never said very well. It's all in the song, isn't it? By Tim Lawson. Yes.
It's so peaceful down here, Bermuda sand, still air, cobbled streets, English roads, a debt is paid that's owed. Home in the island sun, Lady Mary and Sir William. Long way from 1901 for the quiet Canadian. record book. Everybody take a look. Farewell, Queen Victoria. Come the beating of the drum. An empire with no setting sun. Goodbye, 19-1. When the Great War came, he volunteered, foot soldier. Flanders Fields, peacetime saved, Mary his, everything but kids. Finding the island sun, Bermuda, they had come. A sweet life, dearly won, still to do. What must be done? Then in 36, she shone like gold. Churchill called, intrepid cold. 9 years in one game. Secrets to the grave.
Intrepid. Great variety of books, more than we can count on the fingers of two hands, I think. From Tim Lawson's CD, Lest We Forget. 648.
So he had a hand in Campex, did he not?
Yes, he did as well.
Yes.
Well, it's, a lot of it is in the song, but so much is still not known. We have
right.
a little statue.
Yes.
Between here and the legislature.
Yep. Memorial Boulevard. Yep.
649. Oh, we better get to our comedy, obviously. We're going to play it again
yes.
tomorrow. We have, this is our last day for quite a while in this studio.
Right.
We're going to a remote studio next week.
Yep.
We won't have all the gear we have, but we will carry on as best we can.
Yes. We will have a CD player.
Mm-hmm. We may have to talk to each other.
A record player. Well, we have a cassette player, I think so.
Yeah, but we will.
We won't have some of the computerized stuff.
We're going to have to talk to each other.
Oh, man. All right. Let's see what we can do.
What must be done, must be done. 649.
Comedy.
It'll be fun. Comedy. Who'd like a laugh? All right.
Well, you know, I could always do
a little bit of American history for you then.
Okay.
Off time when he's not performing, he's a very devout student of American history. He knows almost everything there is to know, many facets. In fact, he has a very many faceted mind. And he.
That's true. I have many faucets. Go ahead and ask. Go ahead. Dickie Smothers, go ahead
You're
and
very
ask.
Unusual.
You go ahead and ask me about whatever. You go ahead and ask me whatever you want.
Okay, how many faucets
what
do you have?
Yeah. You know, Mom always liked you best. I know a lot about history in there.
Okay.
More than anybody, and you could go ahead and ask me anything because I know about history.
I know you do, and before I ask you a question, I want to compliment you, Tom, for being so humble. You're a very humble person. With all this knowledge,
That's
you're
true.
Humble. Yes. What do you know, very briefly, to start things off, what do you know about the Pilgrims, just in a little nutshell?
The Pilgrims came, the travel-weary pilgrims sailed from the old world, seeking out the new world, a world which was little known about. Travel-weary people in the small wooden ships toss about unmercifully on the Atlantic Ocean, tossing, and on the Atlantic Ocean, sick. They got sick. A lot of them got sick. After they set off on July 6th, 1723, to reach the New World. Yes, 1726, and July 7th, they set off across the windswept Atlantic Ocean, heading for the New World. And their faith began to wane as months ran into... Couldn't run into years. Months ran into weeks, and there was over many months. Land ho was the cry as they came upon the New World. Oh, great relief did they feel as they came upon the New World and came upon Plymouth Rock.
Right.
Big slimy rock. And they parked their boats at Plymouth Rock, and these travel-weary pilgrims got out on the rock, and whoop! right on their buckles. Right on their buckles.
Those pilgrims did have a lot of buckles.
Yeah.
Tommy, now that we know you know about the pilgrims, how about a legendary hero such as Johnny Appleseed?
Johnny Appleseed, oh yes. Johnny Appleseed. Many of us, as Americans, a lot of us don't realize the great debt we owe Johnny Appleseed. A small, diminutive man with a great orange bag stuffed with over 7 million apple seeds in these bags. This was this orange bag, and it was he who introduced the apples to America. Before Johnny Appleseed in 1743, there was the apples were not known here in America, and it was he who traipsed across the width and breadth of America. Skelter helter went the apple seeds as he reached in his orange bag, and the apple seeds sprang up into great orchards. And years after, when the great wagon trains were moving westward in the westward migration, there was many excited exclamation of astonishment would pass the lips of these pioneers of yesteryear as they happened chance upon an apple orchard. Wow, that must be an apple orchard! That's the work of Johnny Appleseed, little man with the orange bag.
Do
you like to thank that guy?
Yeah. Did you say he introduced the apple tree to this continent?
That's right. Nobody had ever seen apples until Johnny Appleseed.
So there were no apples and no apple trees over here at all?
No, not until Johnny Appleseed introduced the apples,
But when he went around the country, there were no trees and no apples. And so where did he get his seeds?
The good fairy gave him this.
Yes, according to the Smothers Brothers, American History and Other Related Subjects at 6:54.
Good one.
Obituary for you now.
Yes.
And that's Teddy Beverly.
Oh.
She of the Beverly Sisters.
Oh, I see.
The last of the Beverly Sisters, singing true found fame in the 1950s with such hits such as I Saw Mummy Kissing Santa Claus, Little Donkey. She is the last of the trio, as I say. Familiar and popular group as well. Their parents had worked the music halls as Coram and Mills. They were living in Bethnal Green, East London, when Teddy was born, as Hazel, along with her twins, Babs, or Babette. They later moved to North during the Second World War. Initially sang as the Chinnery Sisters.
Oh.
Well, here's a hit they had then. A lot of the hits I know were hits different people recording them in America, of course, compared to Britain. So
right.
See if you recognize this, of
okay.
course. Once there were green fields kissed by the sun.
Wait a minute.
Once
yes, yes.
There were valleys,
well, yes, they did have a hit with that, but that doesn't represent the mischievousness of the Beverly Sisters. So I'm going to give you a song that a little more of them, of course, and that's because it was banned by the BBC. Yes. It's titled We Have to Be So Careful.
Especially with the BBC.
Teddy, Joy, and Babs, Beverly Sisters. Hardly associated with controversy, but they did poke fun at the BBC's policy on this 1953 single. The BBC didn't even like to acknowledge it had a commitment with banned records, and so this 78 received no airplay at all.
We've been told we look ethereal, and so in our material, we have to be so careful what we sing. We're allowed to have our festive times, but mustn't have suggestive lines. In fact, more Godfrey Wynne than Errol Flynn. And so that you will understand about this new routine, tonight the three of us have planned to show you what we mean. We have to be so careful in song that we don't put six tiny feet wrong. If we were Sophie Tucker, we could really have a go. Or if we were the crazy gang, we could be slightly low. But as it is, we're like the Russians. All we say is no, 'cause we have to be so careful all the time. We have to be so careful with cash, otherwise our bank balance would crash. If we need some ready money, the manager said that he'd be glad to see us anytime. He's very kind indeed. He'd like to make advances, but they're not the kind we need. 'Cause we have to be so careful all the time. We have to watch our P's and our Q's, otherwise we're all in the news. We've saved a lot of money, 'cause we never smoke or drink. And we could go to Bond Street now and buy ourselves a mink. But when we started wearing them, well, what would people think? And we have to be so careful all the time. We have to be so careful, what's more, until we reach that heavenly shore. And when St. Peter lets us in, through golden gates agleam, he'll say, well, how did you get here to join the angels' team? We'll take three little harps and sing the Beverly Sisters theme. Oh, we had to be so careful, so very, very careful. We had to be so careful all the doggone time. We had.